This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by Terry Geiger. Terry is the Deputy Director of Academic and Biomedical Operations at St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in the Memphis area. Terry, we're thrilled to get a chance to visit with you today. Can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure to join you. I am a physician scientist. I'm a pathologist by training with subspecialty training in transfusion medicine. And I'm also a laboratory researcher. I have a fundamental and translational research laboratory in immunology. I came to St. Jude about 21 years ago working on what's now called CAR T cells, which are these adoptive immunotherapies for cancer. CAR Ts are now a multi-billion dollar a year industry. But at the time when I first came here, it was really just a scattering of scientists looking to establish proof of principle for the retargeting of T cells against tumors and other pathologic targets. My current title you mentioned, that's Deputy Director for Academic and Biomedical Operations. And that is a somewhat unusual title, and my role is also somewhat unusual. But I'd say that an institution like St. Jude does occasionally need to create some unique structures to fulfill unfulfilled organizational needs, and that was the case here. So I have a role with many different facets.
And take a moment, Dr. Geiger, and talk about, I want to talk about both St. Jude's for a moment. I want to talk about your career and how you sort of bridge these two areas of being a physician and being a leader and researcher and lab operator and more. Take a moment first. Talk about St. Jude's and maybe a few points of pride in St. Jude's.
Certainly. St. Jude's an unusual institution. It is, first of all, St. Jude is not just a children's hospital, it's a children's research hospital. And I'd underline research because that's just so important to who we are. As we're a standalone institution that integrates research with care into a single entity. And we do that using an academic model, but with this unified mission. And that that system, that have that presence of a single institutional structure that's looking at both the research and the academic end of the institution and the care end of the institution, really allows for rapid decision making and for that decision making to have greater and more immediate impact in linking science and research with translation and clinical care. So I think that's one important foundational point about St. Jude. Another important thing to consider about St. Jude is it's an incredibly mission-driven institution. It's not a general children's hospital or children's research hospital, but it's really focused. And that mission is to advance cures and means of prevention of childhood catastrophic illness, and to do that through both research and treatment. And so there's a lot said in that mission, but it's a mission that I think everyone here thinks about every day. And so it's not advancement of general academic knowledge, but it's really consideration of the most vulnerable in our society, children with diseases that are particularly difficult to treat.
And St. Jude's, let me ask you a question. Yeah. St. Jude says this, sure. And I'll take you back to the question on think points of pride in a second, but St. Jude's has a sort of remarkable national and international reputation. How did you end up at St. Jude's to begin with?
Yeah, I came to St. Jude somewhat serendipitously, I'd say, for me. When I had finished my fellowship and training as a pathologist and as a scientist, you know, I went on the open job market and started looking around, and went to a variety of different institutions over the course of a couple of years, and even turned down a few jobs. I knew nothing about St. Jude. And I came in response to an advertisement. I had some new research and a new talk, and I thought, you know, let me just apply, and it'll be a good place to practice my job talk. And I came to St. Jude, and I was just amazed at what I saw. And within hours of setting foot in the facility, I knew that this was the place I wanted to work and I wanted to have my career. It really is that remarkable and special of a place.
And how long have you been there now?
21 years, a little bit more than that. Came in 1999.
Magnificent. That's what I thought you had said. Thank you very, very much. What a remarkable place for both treating children and looking at big problems, big issues, and trying to make a big impact on children's health and pediatric health. And talk for a moment. I cut you off for a second about points of pride. You've gone through a couple. Tell us a bit more about things at St. Jude that you're so proud of.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, first of all, I'd say you're absolutely right when you say the word impact. And, you know, impact is what we think about here every day. As an academic center, it is the one thing we ask of our faculty to always ask themselves, what can they do that will most meaningfully affect the children we treat? And there is a lot that we do. There's a lot that we've done historically, and there's a lot that we continue to do. We do that through our ability to take fundamental sciences and bring it into the clinic. Last year, we received the Smithsonian's Innovation Award for the development of gene therapy for X-Kid, X-Linked Severe Combined Immunodeficiency Disease, which is the boy in the bubble disease. We've also looked at, you know, where we can have the most impact outside of our boundaries, outside of our walls, and have developed a tremendous international program, Global Pediatric Medicine Program, that's now engaged in over 100 institutions, more than 50 countries, has partnerships with the World Health Organization, and has helped establishing standards for the treatment of pediatric cancer and other catastrophic diseases throughout the world. So those are all, I'd say, important areas of pride. I think when I think about St. Jude, though, there's sort of another feature that might be worth mentioning, and that we are a charitable hospital. And so, as such, if you look from the perspective of conventional reimbursement from insurance, we lose money on every patient. And so, you know, that's not a conventional business model the more patients you see, the more money you lose. But that's more than compensated for by the charitable arm of the organization and the donations we receive, which is largely small donations, but cumulatively allow us to provide a level of care that exceeds what otherwise we'd be able to provide. And we use that to ask questions such as not what can we do within the context of current reimbursement structures, but what is it possible to do for children that have these diseases and for their families that really we do not want to have to think of anything but the care and demands and needs of their child.
Magnificent. I want to ask this question. When you tell me how you ended up at St. Jude's, it reminds me of that of a famous love song where somebody, you know, it responds to a want and ends up, you know, falling in love. And I won't sing it for our audience because I don't want to do that to them. But I will ask you this question. You've had this remarkable career, Dr. Geiger, where you've loved what you do. You sort of end up there by chance in a way, but it's been a perfect fit. I mean, a great love affair with St. Jude's. What advice would you give to people trying to have careers they want to have, careers that lead them as fulfilled as yours has left you. What advice would you give people?
I'd have to say, it is serendipity that led me here. It wasn't intention. I'd say, first of all, don't force it. If you're looking at your career and you're looking for something that's truly meaningful to you, you'll know it. You'll know it when you see it, and it'll happen because the fit is right. If you're uncomfortable or whoever you're trying to partner with, whatever institution that might be, is uncomfortable, it's just not going to become, it's not going to be right. And, there's no sense trying to force something that doesn't fit. So that's what I say. I mean, it's good to aspire to have some direction, but that fit has to come naturally.
And that's fantastic advice. And what do you do? So many of our young people and so many of our middle-aged people, we're looking for that fit, trying to find that fit. We've got kids going to college, trying to find their fit, others as well. And I've had the fortune throughout my career to find different spots where that fit happened. I didn't plan it, but I found myself passionate about what I was doing. How do you advise people to sort of, I agree with you, you can't force it, and periodically it happens, and then you're in a great spot for years and years and years when it happens that that's the right fit. How do you sort of look to people and say to them, whether it's somebody mid-career, a younger person trying to find a career, to sort of culturally move into that fit and find that fit? Any advice on how that can happen?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. And, I could just speak to that from my own personal experience. What I'd say looking back, and I'd say I've been particularly fortunate in this regard, is that there have been a lot of people that have helped me test those fits. It's not a single event. It's multiple events. It's multiple engagements. It's multiple interactions. It's jumping into waters that you don't know how deep, when you don't know how deep they are or how cold it is. If I think and I look back, really for my career, I'd say, that started in college. If I think how I got started in moving to where I am, it really was a professor, a biochemistry professor, who approached me in the courtyard. I hadn't spoke to him before. He approached me and said, you're doing really well with this, and asked me if I'd join his research lab. And that was kind of out of the blue. I didn't know much about it, but I sort of went for it. I just jumped into the opportunity, and I loved it. I found, it was incredibly invigorating being around scientists who were passionate about what they did, who were interested in just knowledge, who were curious, and it really sparked in me something that's become my career. And, it took me till I'd say this stage in my career that I now can look back and think, yeah, that was a pivotal moment. And it was pivotal because someone else kind of came and approached me and offered me this opportunity. And I think having those opportunities is fundamental. Seeking those opportunities out sometimes feels a little bit difficult or challenging, but it's really important to test new things, to test new options, new careers. What I do now is completely different from what I did when I first came to St. Jude, and is certainly a path I didn't expect to be on when I started my career as an academic physician.
Fantastic. Dr. Geiger, thank you so much for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Fascinating career, and congratulations on such a wonderful career and the work that St. Jude does. We appreciate you joining us very much.
It's a pleasure.